best not miss.
Well, I'm a bunch of little cloud laying motherfucker, motherfucker.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Welcome to the party, pal. The mind-bending film and television podcast. You didn't know you needed. Welcome to the party, pal. As a proud member of the Osiris Media Group. Check out what they got going on over at osirispod.com. All their podcasts, all their live events, that is osirispod.com. In a companion piece to our last episode where we celebrated some of our favorite films of the year over here at Welcome to the Party, Pal, we're going to talk about the Oscars that just took place and further celebrate some of the great films that happened in 2023. You got River Jordan back with me on the program. Let's dive right in.
River, welcome back to the party. This is going to be a fun one. Just the day after the Oscars, I'm still feeling the glow from the whole thing. Did you have a great night?
You know, it's sort of like when you love football and your team wins at the Super Bowl, and the next day you're just on a high. You're just on a natural high. I'm gonna just. Today's a good day. It's going to be a good day all day long.
Absolutely. I'm still smiling about many of the moments that happened last night. It was really, really good. Generally speaking, what sticks out at the top of the top of your mind of, after all that, after you digest it for the evening, still digesting, I'm sure. But what are your initial thoughts here?
Really, that well done. Although I have a few critiques, as we always do, but
I'd love to hear those. Just
so pleased with the production overall, you know, the awards overall. So from the set design to the participation to the general vibe in the room to, you know, the people that were there who were not presenting, but just happened to be there because they loved the movies, you know, a little bit of everything. So,
yeah, absolutely. It was... Yeah. It was really fun how, kind of the one of the biggest phenomenons we've talked about multiple times, the Barbenheimer thing. It kind of let off the show. That phenomenon leaked its way into the show, and it had to. It was that important. I mean, that was those two movies and what they meant together and what they meant for this year were huge. And it really showed up. I mean, right away, Greta's getting directorial love. About Barbie from Jimmy, which was amazing, and called out the people in the room who actually voted for it, which was really, really great. I mean, you know, Barbie.
That was well done. That situation was really, they hit the nail on the head immediately coming out of the gate and took care of that, because otherwise it would have been kind of a ghost of a presence of her not getting nominated, I think, throughout the show. So I love the way that was handled.
It would have lingered for sure. And, you know, Barbie didn't win that many Oscars, but it won the night in many ways. I mean, you know, I'm still smiling thinking about the I'm Just Ken with Slash and everyone else. That was magical. I mean, I saw someone say that he has as much or more a charisma than most pop stars out there. And that's not wrong. That was really, really special. I mean, it was really cool to see, you know, what films won. I mean, awards were given to Zone of Interest, Poor Things, Holdovers, American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, Holdovers, Last Repair Shop, The War is Over, Godzilla Minus One, and the wonderful story of Henry Sugg. That's, I mean, think of that. That's a good batch.
I think Steven Spielberg really summed it up well, saying it was a great movie, a year for movies, and also, what was the word that he used? I think he said eclectic, for the variety of movies that were played, you know, the spectrum. It was not the same old, you know, churning out. So what was your favorite? Did you have a favorite moment? Was the Ken moment your favorite?
Yeah, it definitely was. I thought that was really, really special. I got a little emotional with Divine from Holdovers, her winning. That was great. I mean, I loved even just that factoid about her wearing her grandmother's glasses in it. And then also just how much she loves her publicist, and just that was really, really sweet. And that one really, I think when it comes to emotion, that got me. I loved seeing the Osage community involved. We'll talk a little bit about Killers of the Flower Moon moving forward. I got some things there, but I love that they, you know, not only did their community get highlighted so much in the movie, but also still in this awards show. I mean, it's. I know some people kind of push back on someone like, you know, like Scorsese directing a film like that. But look at what he's done for that community and to you know, that getting the word out there. It was intense to see Navalny at that moment. What stood out? What was your favorite moment? I'd love to hear that, River.
You know, I don't think I had a favorite moment. I've been, you know, of course, contemplating that, watching it, but some people don't like when they have the Academy Award winners coming out on stage to announce the. I love that part so much. So I think that collectively, that was my favorite moment, was being able to see previous winners speaking out to the people who were nominated and recognizing them. So
I think that's great. It creates like this continuity, which I think is fantastic. Not only do I, you know, the Oscars remind you of this year in movies, but because they do that, where they bring out someone from the previous year to give the award, you like all of a sudden you're thinking about last year's movies. Everywhere, All at Once was coming to mind. And then this year we got the special extra treat of, you know, multiple winners coming back and talking, and I was thinking about their movies and what they contributed. And I'm sure some people might not like this, but I do appreciate hearing the actors give accolades to each other. I mean, a lot of these are pretty accomplished actors and given love, and some of those things that they said to each other really, really, you know, gave me all the feels.
That. I mean, who doesn't want, when you're a podcaster, to have someone else with the great podcast go, man, I love your show. Yeah. I've been listening. Or a writer say, your book is my favorite from the year. I mean, you know, I don't care if people think, oh, it's a bunch of rich, you know, people that are just, you know, patting each other on the back or whatever. You know, we all need to be patting each other on the back more. So I'm totally down for that. You know, I loved it.
Yeah, let's give the idea of giving each other flowers while we're alive is something I would really
Yeah, it's respect, you know. Also, you know, it's a level of respect. So I love seeing Nick Cage on stage anytime, you know.
Really got me. He's like, of course I would. Nick Cage was full Nick Cage.
You know,
Nick Cage out there. It was wonderful. Yeah,
he's Nick Cage, but it allows you to hear from stars, you know, the actors that you love, but who are not nominated. It's not their year. They're not in the movies, but yet you get to see them and hear from them. So, you know, for me, it's a great show that way.
A few of them I hadn't seen in a while. Let's kind of check out some boxes. What about the host? How do you think Jimmy did? He's kind of a consummate professional.
He is a consummate professional. Here's my critique.
I'd love to hear this.
And it's not a critique of him per se. I don't care for the razzmatazz of it being a roast of the people in the audience when we kick off. I think it's totally unnecessary. I think funny moments are funny. I think, is it John Delaney who did the Field of Dreams bit?
Yeah, you know, that was great. Wonderful.
It's so funny without it slapping at anybody. He did have a few lines from a few movies, you know. It's funny without having that sort of burn moment. And so I really appreciated that. And I also love John coming out with no clothes on with the card. The humor can be there in a variety of ways. So that's just something that I don't particularly care for, but he kept it moving and he interjected. He is a professional, you know, he's been doing this for years. So, you know, I appreciated that. And he's not the only one. I mean, that's the history of, you know, award shows or the Oscars, of people coming out and kind of burning people, you know. And
it doesn't have to be that way. You know, who's a good example of who doesn't do that and still is hilarious and kind of puts everybody at ease. Trevor Noah, the way he does the Grammys, it's unbelievable. He puts everyone at ease. It's, if there is kind of a joke, it's softer in a way. I mean, one of the things I noticed right away, I wasn't in, you know, I didn't even find like kind of like the drug jokes about Robert Downey or talking about the age of who they're dating. It just doesn't seem like it. I don't know. I don't. And I guess if it was funnier, it's not even that funny. It seems like a cheap way out. But I thought Jimmy was great overall. He, you know, the Trump thing was pretty funny. I love, this is the second time he's brought out the animals. That was, you know, he had Messi from Anatomy of a Fall in this. And because he also brought out, remember Jenny from the Banshees film, the donkey that he brought out before.
Yes, of course. Jenny stole the show almost, you know.
Absolutely. So he knows to bring those out. But yeah, I thought the jokes all around, you mentioned John Cena, it was really fun. It's fun thinking about what wrestlers have done to Hollywood. I mean, between him and The Rock, those are great addition to Hollywood. They are hilarious. They bring a great vibe to it. It's funny.
They don't mind laughing at themselves. And that is so critical. You know, I think a lot of people maybe in the audience need to be able to laugh at themselves too. One of my other favorite things is, as much as I thought the moment I saw Oppenheimer, that's it. This is it. This is an incredible achievement. But then it came out earlier in the year. Poor Things came out later. And then Poor Things began to take some awards early in the show. And I thought, this could be an everything, everywhere, all at once moment. The tide could turn without us knowing. The tide has turned, you know? So I liked that little bit of anticipation all this time that I thought it was a shoe-in, and then thinking, maybe it's not. We don't know. We don't know. Yeah, I like that part too.
Yeah, definitely. It was building some sort of momentum that made you question, is it could be their night? Could they start rolling this out? In contemplation of Oppenheimer, though, I really think they probably got this right. I mean, it really had it all. I mean, it's, you know, getting those 7 awards, each time they got an award, you're like, you know, that's probably right. It did have the direction, it had the cinematography, it had the story, it had the acting, it had the score, it had the sound editing. It had the production. I mean, this was the one this year. I think they nailed it. I really do. Do you feel the same?
I do think they nailed it.
And yeah, you know, and I think about Killian, and just Killian is really, really, really special. He, I was thinking about, I really, really loved him in Peaky Blinders, and I kind of look back at that as, you know, he was almost as powerful figure to that series as like Cranston in Breaking Bad or Ham in Mad Men or Gandolfini in Sopranos. I mean, he was putting on an acting display during that whole series the whole time.
Not almost.
Yeah. I pulled that.
Yeah, totally. You know, it's been a little time, I know, but no, he was just burning it up, burning the screen up every single time that you watched him. Mm-hmm. And then it's interesting to me to see him in Oppenheimer and you think, oh, he's lost weight. Oh, he's aged. He's this, he's that, you know, just perception, not judging. Yeah. But then you see him last night on stage and you go, oh, it was acting. It was, he's the same. So
he's been the same. And I mean, and then Nolan is so special. I mean, it's so great to see him get this award. He deserved it fully. He could have won this many times before for The Dark Knight, for Dunkirk. What else? Inception was beautiful. Prestige was beautiful. Interstellar. I mean, he's had a run.
Great. He's great. And I loved his acceptance speech as well.
Yeah. Yeah. The last actor to win an Oscar in a Christopher Nolan film was actually Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight. And that changed this year. So I think they got it right with Oppenheimer, but it was a treat to see Poor Things get some serious love. And I mean, let's go straight to Emma, because obviously there's a lot of pushback. But I mean, personally, I think it was the right call. I think her performance was absolutely stunning. But I would have thought Lily would have been the right call too. It's one of those things. They both were so great in it. I love what Jennifer Lawrence said to Lily about what she meant to Killers of the Flower Moon. She said, "You are the soul of Killers of the Flower Moon," and that's absolutely right. She was the soul of Killers of the Flower Moon. It's what did you think of that moment?
I think it was handled very well in the acceptance speech, and that is a tough call. I would have been happy either way, but I also don't feel like the Oscar was stolen from her after seeing Poor Things. It was an exceptional, exceptional performance, and a little bit of, you know, in Poor Things, she had more time on the screen. She had more depth, and she just had more to work with than Lily did. And what I thought, you know, after that moment, and I wasn't disheartened. I mean, going into it, and before I saw Poor Things, I was like, oh, I hope Lily wins. She's got to win, right? Then I saw Poor Things, and I was like, I don't think she's going to win because of the magnificence of that performance and the depth of it, you know.
Yeah, I think I described it last time we talked as like a performance of a lifetime. It's just it's kind of mind blowing what she did in that film.
It absolutely is. And I was thinking, I'm really looking forward to see what Lily does next.
Oh my goodness, did you see the trailer for Under the Bridge?
No.
They played it last night during the show, and it just looks fantastic. It comes out April 18th. I burned that date in my brain. Yeah. It looks like it's going to be fantastic.
Great. Oh. So I like to see that. Were there new awards added that you were interested in?
Yes. I am so excited about the achievement in casting, which I think starts next year. I'm so excited for that. It's been a long, long time coming. It's about time for that.
Yes. It's something I always notice in TV shows or movies where the casting is perfection. Yeah. And you realize, you think it just happens, you know, automatically. It does not. Someone very talented is putting this magnificent puzzle together. So I'm very happy about that. Yeah.
And it's something I've really kind of drawn to and always observed, just the kind of perfectly putting together a cast. That is way, way past due. It's kind of wild at this point that Billie Eilish and Phineas have two Oscars now at their young age. That's amazing. Good on them. That's really special. Both deserving. That was really cool. Another thing that I thought was really special, the Last Repair Shop winning. I just, that little short documentary, that category is really winning my heart these days. The short docs, I love to catch them all. You know, it's just, they really pack a punch in the whole thing. Last Repair Shop is absolutely wonderful. It's on Hulu, it's on Disney. If you get a chance, check it out. It speaks to the power of music to change people's life, to the power of music to, you know, when you give people the gift of music and what it could be, it's just beautiful. I love it.
Well, one of the things I love about the Oscars is that's something that I didn't catch in the middle of being very busy. And then it brings attention to not only that the winner, but the nominees. And then you're able to go, oh, I need to back up. I need to check. And I think there are a lot of people that will watch movies that were nominated that they didn't know anything about, you know?
It's a moment of discovery.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And that's another fun part of the night. So what do you think of Robert Downey Jr.'s win?
It was great. It's kind of a fun comeback story. I love how cheeky he is with his comment, thing. He's just fully him all the time. It's a great role he has. I love his. I'm excited for his post kind of Iron Man career right now. There's some show on HBO that he's going to be in soon, and I thought he was great in this. And it is a fun kind of comeback story. And he's. You can tell he's beloved, you know, by his peers, and that says something, especially after all he's been through. Were you taken by that as well?
I expected him to win after I saw the movie, and he plays such a different character in the movie than he is in real life.
Yeah.
Then he goes bouncing up on stage, you know, like a happy puppy, you know, from The Pound or something, which is exactly what he said. He said his wife basically saved him as a rescue, you know. Yep,
exactly. Called her like the veterinarian for saving him as a pet.
That's right. So that's exactly what he reminded me of. Did you, were there any that totally surprised you in the
You know
evening?
what? I actually had a note that I was going to mention that I really wasn't surprised that much. I mean, there's a couple that could have gone either way. Overall, no. And that's not usual. Usually there's something. Did anything shock you at all?
No. And same, I didn't, there were no major surprises for me except for some of the presenters, some of the funny moments. John coming out naked was probably the biggest
I
surprise.
was a little shocked about how much I laughed at and liked the dad joke. At what age do you tell a screenplay it was adapted? I'm
Yeah,
laughing way too
that
hard.
was a dad joke, isn't it?
I loved Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling going back and forth about whose film is better, more impactful. That was a great another Barbenheimer pull. That was really amazing. Love that.
Right, but that brings up one thing I would like to have seen, and I
Yeah,
know
please.
it's not this. This is if I were in charge of, all the warm fuzzies at the Oscars. I know it's not the People's Choice Award, but I think what the people did, creating that phenomenon this summer, and the people going to the movies en masse on opening day and seeing both movies back to back, I would love to have seen thank you internationally, everyone, for just a nod to you did this, we didn't do this, you did this, and so like I said, I know it's the Oscars and not I don't
But the
know.
fans did that, and we have.
Can
I'm glad we're mentioning that here. The fans did that.
we have a new award called the Fan Award,
The
the Super Fan Award,
fans.
for the people that turn out for the movies. So that was good. I got a kick out of Al Pacino doing coming out and doing Best Picture. There was kind of a moment where I was like, is he saying the right movie? Is
Right?
it, where
It
he's best?
got tense there for a second. It was a little
Yeah.
odd.
My eyes see, but it's like, do his eyes really see this? Is it a bit? I don't know. But it's good to see Hollywood kind of across the ages last night. I mean, multiple generations represented, and I really
I like when
appreciate
it doesn't feel like there's a divide. It feels like a continuation and a
right.
celebration. I think that's the way it should be. I just some of this like kind of generational that there's so much focus on what generation you're from. Basically, we're all, the time is so big. We're all kind of in this thing together. If we're all in the same
Are.
earth at the same time. It's like we're all kind of having a similar experience. People act like the experience is that different between ages. We have to talk Wes. Wes Anderson has an Academy Award now. I mean, I really think he could have won Best Original Screenplay for Tenenbaums back in the day. He could have won Animated Feature for Mr. Fox. Grand Budapest had a ton of nominations, but nothing's hit. I'm just glad he's got one. It's fun to see that.
Maybe somewhere he was in silk pajamas having a lovely glass of wine, watching on a big screen somewhere and celebrating. Yes, he deserves it. We may live to see him get a Lifetime Achievement Award for his contribution to cinema, and that would be lovely. I would love to present that to him. But I also love that American Fiction got the attention that it did, well deserved, and best screenplay. So that was a good moment for me. And I love the speech. Instead of making $200 million movies, which I love, $200 million
Of
movies,
course.
don't get me wrong, but being able to bring up all these new directors that may be out there that are the Steven Spielbergs of this their generation, and they need to be able to do low budget films that get attention. So I love that thought.
Yeah,
But
he's right. There's a lot of gifted people out there, probably even geniuses that
yes.
just if given the opportunity and given the chance. I thought that was great. He was speaking to the right room. I hope that landed with somebody. you know, I kept thinking as the Best Picture nominees were getting, you know, celebrated and talked about, it is so cool that there were three foreign language films in there.
It is.
I hope that's kind of what we're going for soon, you know, kind of like the film community is international. It's kind of like the NBA is kind of becoming that way. I'm a big basketball fan, and it's just like there's so many different international players, and it's just like kind of bring the best of the best throughout the world into this thing. And I know that's a lot, but it's possible. And it was really cool to see those films in there, in the mix there.
My biggest takeaway from the evening was Christopher Nolan. I mean, not my takeaway, maybe my lingering thought mm-hmm. that's with me, which I guess could be the biggest takeaway, is Christopher Nolan saying, look what we've done in this many years, and imagine, you know, where we might be 100 years from now. Blew my mind.
That is wild.
It really was a wild thought for me to think 100 years from now, what will movies be? You know, and
think of the innovations that have happened over the last decade and a half. It's incredible. Who knows how fast these things move and what yes. type of theatrical experiences we'll be experiencing in the next decade and moving forward. It's wild. It's beautiful. It was a beautiful show.
I think we'll be stepping into movies like Hologram. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I literally think we'll be stepping into movies. You
exactly.
know?
So. Fully immersed. Take me to these places. I'd love that. You know, I wish, obviously, I thought it was a great night. I thought they nailed it. But, you know, I wished Holdovers could have gotten more. Giamatti could have got more. I wish Lily could have gotten something. I wish Spider-Verse could have won, even though I love Boy and the Heron, you know. I wish.
Were you surprised by that one?
I think Boy and the Heron just has that pedigree. You know, I actually wasn't. I actually was leaning that way. Just I thought that was like a coin flip. I didn't know which way they were going to go. But I wish it was able to get it. It's awesome. I hope that the third installment maybe does get that love. But all in all, I wish us to be as lucky next year as we were this year with the film offerings. It was awesome. We really had a great year, and this was a great celebration of that year. Any closing thoughts? We can go on all day laughing and smiling about this. Any closing thoughts, though?
No, I'm just looking forward to the coming year and being a part of it, and it's starting off well. So I'm just here for what happens next. And I really love the show so much. I'm going to go back and watch some of the highlights and then rewatch some of my favorite movies. So
definitely.
Do that, you know, makes you want to do that. Yeah.
Definitely. I'm not done with those films. Some of these films are going to be some of my favorites for the rest of my life. So thank you for talking about it. We put a bow on 2023 here with our last two episodes, which was tons of fun. So thank you, River.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you, everyone out there, for once again joining the party.
Doesn't seem to matter what I do. I'm always number two. No one knows how hard I tried. Oh, I have feelings that I can't explain. Driving me insane. All my life been so polite, but I'll sleep alone tonight. 'Cause I'm just kidding. Anywhere else I'd be a 10. Is it my destiny to live and die a life of blonde fragility? I'm just care. Where I see love, she sees a friend. What will it take for her to see the man behind the tan and fight for me?
Osiris.
This podcast is In the Loop, the Legion of Osiris Podcasts. Osiris is creating a community that connects people like you with live experiences and podcasts about artists and topics you love. Get in the loop at osirispod.com.